Nashville Super Speedway to the Nashville Fairgrounds.
2022 NASCAR Cup Series champion Joey Logano.
To the end of season awards. NASCAR runs deep in Nashville. This is a Chasing Checkers NASCAR in Nashville special with Chase McCabe on Nashville's home for NASCAR, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And a very happy holidays, everybody. Welcome in to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checkers special. I am your host, Chase McCabe, and very excited. Over the course of the next 2 hours, you're going to hear a lot from the NASCAR Awards, drivers talking about their seasons, but also talking about racing in Nashville and how important that is to them. Also, a few things on the fairgrounds, on the Super Speedway. We are really looking forward to it. And again, something for you to enjoy during this holiday season, because you know my passion for racing and for NASCAR especially. So let's start things off with a legend, a Hall of Famer, and one of Nashville's very own. He's a three-time Cup Series champion, and of course, a Hall of Fame commentator as well. I'm talking about Darrell Waltrip, old DW, kicking things off on NASCAR in Nashville.
So excited about what is going to be happening at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, and I can't think of a better person to talk to than the Hall of Famer, Franklin's own, Darrell Waltrip, better known as old DW. DW, how you doing?
Doing great, yeah, just kind of celebrating like everybody else. Just kind of a red-letter day for the fairgrounds, and looking forward to the future. I think there's just so much that they're going to be able to do with that racetrack.
You cut your teeth there. You're a track champion. Yep. You've been in this sport for a long time. Did you ever really think deep down that this day was going to come?
I know Jerry Caldwell really well and Marcus Smith. I know those two guys, and when they make up their mind to try to accomplish something, they're pretty adamant about getting it done. So I think about Wilkesboro is going to be revived, and they're going to have the All-Star race at Wilkesboro next year. And there's so much with Marcus and Charlotte Motor Speedway and all the tracks they own, the days they control. I'm happy that the track's back, going to get remodeled and brought up to today's standards. But I never thought it would happen. I really didn't. I didn't think they could do it, but they did.
Yeah, and I'm so excited. And you know, like you said, whenever the Smith family and Jerry Caldwell and Bristol and those folks put their mind to something, it's not going to be just, hey, we're reopening a racetrack and going to have, NASCAR racing. It's going to be a palace. I mean, you look at how Bristol's evolved over the years. I can only imagine what, this place is going to look like once they get done with it. How exciting is that to be able to know that you're going to walk in there and you're going to see the place that you raced at, but you're also going to see it modernized and really up to date?
Yeah, well, I think the soccer stadium being next door, I think that really kind of raised the bar a little bit. And the guys, we know that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to the track, and that's been done to that facility since the 80s. So I can't imagine all the things and changes they're going to make and the things they're going to do to make the track better and to make the facility better. And here's one thing I can tell you about Marcus and Jerry both. They're fan conscious. And they may do a lot of things to that racetrack, but they will be sure that they have a lot of amenities for the fans as well. So I've always admired Bruton Smith. He's been a good friend of mine. And Marcus comes along, great friend of mine. Jerry Caldwell, those guys, they take care of the fans. You can ask them right now, what's their number one priority? And they would say taking care of the fans. So I've always appreciated that about them.
Darrell Waltrip is on the line with us. So talk to me as a race car driver, because race car drivers like things a certain way, as you know, and set in their ways. I've heard Dale Jr. say it. I've heard Kyle Busch say it. A lot of the guys that they love the surface. They love those old worn out racetracks. Wilkesboro, the same thing. They're for the All-Star race, they're going to keep it as is, but the place needs a lot of work. So how would you go about doing that part of it, the racing surface part of it, so the fans get the best show possible?
Well, there's just so many things that have to be done. There's safer barriers have to be put up. They're going to pave the track. And listen, drivers like old racetracks, so they take an old racetrack and turn it into a new track. And then they say, well, I never realized how bad it was. So I always think about back in 1984. I think it was Harry Gant told me one. I think he told all the drivers, he said, I'm never coming back to this place so they pave it. Well, they've never paved it. Of course, he never came back either, but that's beside the point. Look, the asphalt they use today, the kind of stuff that they use today to pave these tracks with, it's amazing. You get incredible amounts of grip. So the track will be fast. I think it'll be fun. It's always been a fun track to run on. And I've never heard a driver that raced at Nashville that didn't say, this is the ultimate short track in the country, Nashville short track.
Yeah.
Fairgrounds.
Yeah, for Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Nashville Super Speedway. I mean, the Grand Prix. This city's becoming a racing city. I mean, you and I have talked about it before. I mean, it is a racing city. But the fact that you're going to have two racetracks that can hold a bunch of fans and put on great shows, and you have the street course for the IndyCar guys. I mean, this is just so cool to see this city become what it's become from a racing community.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you take the Super Speedway. Eric Mosley, a good friend of mine. He's a great promoter over there at the Super Speedway in Lebanon. But you think about Indy, and they used to race, the Raceway Park, Friday night trucks, Saturday night Xfinity cars, and Cup cars are over at the Super Speedway on Sunday. I don't know if we'd ever have a situation like that. But when the same guy owns both tracks, they will come up with a plan that will be amenable to everybody. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what they're going to do, because I know they got great plans. I've seen some of the renderings, some of the things they want to change, some of the things they want to do. And it's things that needed to be done a long, long time ago, and we finally got somebody in place to do it. So, and the mayor loves the fairgrounds. He's a big race fan. So he's on board, and the fair board, I think all those people are seeing seeing what's going to happen here, making them happy. So, I believe everybody's. I think we're in good shape. I think we're good to go.
No, I think so too. Talking to Darrell Waltrip. Look, with Wilkesboro coming back and going to host the All Star Race, now the fairgrounds coming back, we got to find you a race car, DW. We got to put you. You won a lot of races at these places.
Well, I think I won the most races at Wilkesboro.
Yep.
I think I won the most races at Nashville. I think because somebody will say, no, you didn't. But anyway, I think I did. But listen, race fans have told me for a long, long time, Talladega's fun because they draft. Charlotte's fun because it's Charlotte. It's been on the schedule forever. Darlington's fun because it's Darlington. But every fan will tell you they love the short tracks. They love being close to they can feel it. They can smell it. They can see it. They can almost touch it. And that's what short track racing does. And it's some of the most, Martinsville, some of the most exciting races we have right now are on the short tracks. And I think it's cyclical. It's been this way ever since I've been in this sport. You know, it's up and down, up and down. And right now, I think we're on an upturn, and the short tracks are going to bring us back. That's where the action is. And the drivers love the short tracks. A driver can make a difference on a short track. A driver on a super speedway, the cars makes the difference. But on a short track, it's all about the driver.
I'm curious of something. As you said, the short track's coming back. You know, in the 80s and the 90s, when NASCAR was just booming and all these big tracks, that was what everybody wanted. They wanted to build these super speedways, and you could fit more people there. But what were the conversations like in the garage with you and the other drivers as you kind of saw the sport evolving and maybe going away from the short track routes to some of these big, huge speedways that we've seen over the last few years?
Yeah, I tell you what happened. The sport, in the early 2000s, it was such a demand for this sport everywhere you went, and they just couldn't put in. Bristol is a great example of what you could do with a short track. Bristol holds 160,000 people. Not 60,000 people, not 100,000 people, but 160,000 people. But nobody wanted to go to the expense of building a facility like that. So they all wanted to build these super speedways, Texas, Kentucky. I don't know, just want, all these racetracks, because they could seat more people.
Right.
They could get 100,000 people in a around a track like that, and you couldn't do it on the short track. So it was supply and demand, And the demand was so great, they had to build bigger tracks so they put in more grandstands so they could seat more people. But that's history. I just don't think that's – I don't think that's who we are. I think NASCAR grew up on the short tracks, on the dirt tracks, and that's what fans like. That's what they want to see. And I think they're finally – I think NASCAR's finally opened their eyes and seen the same thing, and we're headed back that way.
Yeah, and you know, for you to hear, you know, somebody that doesn't remember North Wilkesboro, you know, it closed in 96, but to get excited about it, to want to go buy a ticket, to go to the All-Star race, because they know it's important. They know that it's part of the history of NASCAR and celebrating the 75th anniversary. I mean, how does that make you feel to know that this next generation actually appreciates that kind of history?
Well, what I love about the All-Star race, you don't hear any driver – when they're over there for that race, whether it's Charlotte or wherever, in Wilkesboro this next year, you never hear them talk about points. It's not about points. It's about money. And it's about being the prestige of winning that race. And it means the world to – it's not just the driver that's involved in it. It's the team. It's the car, the preparation that goes into it. So it gets everybody on the team or everybody involved. And then you don't hear them talk about how many points I'm behind or how many points I made this weekend. They just talk about that great big dollar sign and somebody going to win $1 million. And that's a lot of money. I don't care. I don't know. In my world, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt. So when was the last time you actually raced at the fairgrounds?
Oh, Lord. Well, it was an ASA race, I think. I won it. I think I beat Bob Seneker that day. I ran in I won a race there, an Xfinity race there. Bobby Hamilton was helped me with my car that weekend. Man, I don't know. It was in the 80s, I'd say. Somewhere back in the 80s. I'm not sure. Early 80s, probably.
So I can't wait to see your face the first time that there's a Cup race or Xfinity or whatever it is at the new fairgrounds, because I think that's just going to be such a special day, because it's kind of like going there for the first time all over again.
Oh, it really is. I grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky, and the first big racetrack I ever raced on, big to me, was the Nashville Fairgrounds. And I came down here with an 058 Ford, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And that was when the track was, you went in a corner, went up and hit the wall and came off the corner. It was kind of one-lane track. And then Donahoe, I got to be good friends with him, and he built that monstrous 5/8-mile 35, 36-degree bank track, and that was a scary racetrack to run on. And then we have the track we have today, and now we're going to have another brand-new racetrack. The size of the track, the shape of the track won't change, but the facility will never, ever look like it does right now. It'll be immaculate when they get done with it.
I'll tell you a quick story before I let you go as we talk about the Nashville Fairgrounds with Darrell Waltrip. So the first time I ever went there, I was probably – 7-8 years old, something like that, and my dad got tickets to it was a race weekend, and he's like, we're gonna go to the race. And I said, cool, because I was, you know, into NASCAR and everything.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we're walking in the track and they're doing announcements of, you know, driver intros, and all I hear is Dale Earnhardt, and I go, Dale Earnhardt's here. I'm getting all excited. I'm looking for the black 3 car, And I see the 3 car, and I'm going, man, Dale's coming and running in my hometown. Then they do it again, and it's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, right. He's a big short track guy too. Yeah. He loves short tracks, and he's a big believer in the Nashville Fairgrounds. He's helped a lot, you know, in promoting, getting something done over there. So it will be. I don't know. It might be a year or two before we get Cup racing back there, but we'll get Cup racing back. I could almost guarantee it.
Absolutely. And look, the Super Speedway, they're going to run it at night, which I love that. We need more night races because those are cool.
Yeah.
So Eric and his crew doing a great job there. I just think it's a good time to be a NASCAR fan, a race fan in Nashville.
We're on our way back, brother. It's looking good.
That is right. Darrell, thanks for the time as always. It's good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, buddy. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Yes, sir.
Don't touch that dial. We got more coming here on NASCAR in Nashville, the Chasing Checkers special on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey everybody, this is NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checkers special here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game with me, Chase McCabe.
Moving right along here at the NASCAR Awards, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always and joined by Tyler Reddick, who's been nice enough to stop by. Now, I got to get used to this, 23-11 racing,
yeah.
Tyler Reddick. But let's look back first. This was a fun season for you, I know, breaking through, getting a win, getting some wins in that 8 car for RCR. I remember talking to you at Phoenix last year, and you could just see it on your face, like you're right there, and you knew you were going to break through. Finally able to do that this year. What was it like for you?
It was a really fun experience to be able to get over that hump and make it to victory lane. Took a lot of hard work, and certainly we wanted to win sooner, but the way that the fashion that we got our first win was very, very rewarding and fulfilling to run a race like that all day long in the top five and just pick away at it little by little, getting just a spot here and there as the race went on, and then to have to go get it the way that we did against Chase, in that over the course of that final stage three, that entire thing going green, it was a grind, but it was very worth it. It was a really fun way to get that win.
How rewarding was it? Not only you're getting your win for you and your career, but to get it for Richard Childress to do it in that car, in that 8 car, for a guy that has given you a lot of opportunities in your career. How special was that?
Really special, because everyone believes in one another, and we've had to do a lot of work to get better at the road courses. So to be able to break through that way and see that hard work pay off, like I said, was very rewarding for us. We were not very good at road courses a number of years ago, and it was just a really important part of our off season 2 years ago to really dial that in and get closer. And it was really great to see that hard work pay off and us get closer and be able to go out and win a race like that to get the first win.
Obviously, it's hard enough just to get your first win in the Cup Series, but to be able to add two more to that for three, and that was even after you had announced that you're going to be leaving 23-11. We'll obviously talk about that in a second. What was that process like? Because there's uncertainty now with the team, and they're wondering what's going on. You guys still pull together and have a competitive season and are really competitive in the playoffs.
Yeah, we certainly it was, I would say it wasn't difficult for us to move on from it, but it was definitely a hard conversation to have to, sit everyone down, talk about it. This is what's going to happen going forward. But we were able to put it behind us quickly because that's just the type of group that we are, the chemistry that we had built, and that bond that we all have with one another over the years really made that conversation go over better and go smoothly. Like I said, it was definitely a tough conversation, but we moved past it and we got back to being who we were and being the team that we are, and we were able to go win some races, which was nice for everybody.
Was it ever a distraction for you, especially when there was kind of some flux? Kyle's going to come over. Maybe you're going to be in a third car. You won't go to 23-11 till 2024. And then Kurt has all his stuff going on. There was a lot of uncertainty there. So how did you kind of deal with that?
For me, I wouldn't call it a distraction. It may have almost been the opposite. I think it just made me realize, okay, like if this is my last, season with RCR, it made it that much more important for me to win those races and try and put together the best run that we can, because this is our last chance to do it together as a team. So it didn't distract me. If anything, it put more pressure on, and in a way it allowed me to put more pressure on myself and work even harder to close the year out to try and make the most of the time I had left.
Talking to Tyler Reddick, and now you'll be in 23-11 next year. What's it going to be like for you to have MJ, Michael Jordan as a boss, but also Denny Hamlin, a guy that is well established in this sport, multiple race winner, going to definitely be a Hall of Famer, to be able to lean on him and Bubba Wallace as well?
Yeah, to have him, Bubba, Kurt be involved, the ownership group that 23-11 has, the leadership group, that group of leaders that they have at the shop and working on those different aspects of what makes a race team a team. It's gonna be huge, but yeah, we've been really excited about that opportunity. Everybody is over there, and it's just, you know, waiting until we can start working on it and then clicking away at it. It's going to be a quick off season for sure. And I've been at the same home for pretty much 4 years and worked with a lot of the same people for the last 4 years. So it'll be it's definitely going to be a process that I'm not used to of learning, you know, the new team, the new people, working with different manufacturer, all those things, working with Toyota. So a lot of things to go through, but I got a really good group around me over there. A lot of great people at Toyota too that are ready and willing to do whatever it is to help me, and I'm willing to do the same to transition and get rolling as fast as we can.
You mentioned pressure, and I feel like you're the type of guy that thrives off pressure, but what kind of pressure is there knowing that you're not walking into a team that hasn't won? You're walking into a team that has really started to put it together, and they're winning. Kurt won, Bubba's won, in that 45 car. So do you use that as added motivation to just pick up where they left off?
Absolutely. And the team is too, for sure. You know, they're, you know, the conversations I've had in passing, you know, they're really excited about me coming in and trying to work on, find some more stuff on the road courses. You know, they've had a lot of speed on the mile and a halfs and bigger tracks, intermediate style tracks, and they're really excited about, you know, me and my driving style getting to wheel that car and seeing how the results play out on the racetrack. So yeah, everyone's really excited about it. Their level of excitement is definitely motivating me, and hope, you know, I feel like my the time that I've already told them I'm willing to put in and work towards getting us ready this off season has definitely got them excited too.
So here in Nashville for the awards, and you know, I've lived here my whole life. I know that you can have a lot of fun here in Nashville. What's some fun things that you've been up to since you've been here?
This year's actually been a little bit more laid back than other years, which has been nice, having some time to just sit and enjoy Nashville. So yeah, we had some stuff going on last night. You know, NASCAR having their celebration. Other parts of the sport, other aspects of the sport, having those as well. So it was fun being able to take some time and hang out with people in our industry, away from the racetrack, away from the business setting, if you will, and just hang out and have fun with one another. It was cool.
Very, very cool. Tyler, it's good to see you. Best of luck with 2311, and we'll see you in L.A. and Daytona.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Hey, stick around. There's more coming on NASCAR in Nashville. Chasing Checker special here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special with me, Chase McCabe, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game at the NASCAR Awards in Nashville. Chase McCabe here with you. The Chase and Chase show has begun. Chase Briscoe, the driver of the number 14 for Stewart Haas Racing, has joined us now. Chase, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah, just getting ready for the banquet tonight, doing a little media stuff, and yeah, just enjoy Nashville. It's a fun city, obviously, so enjoy being here. Was actually just here a couple weeks ago for the CMA stuff, so it's cool to be back and be here for NASCAR.
You being the racer that you are, I'm going to assume, you know, outside of the Super Speedway the last couple of years, you've probably done some racing around here.
Yeah, a couple, I want to say it was 2015 or 16. I ran at the fairgrounds in an ARCA race, so yeah, I definitely love coming to Nashville. It's from where I'm from, my hometown, it's only 3.5 hours, so it was always fun to race in Nashville. And obviously I had a lot of family normally come to this race, at least in the Cup stuff, and then when we ran at the fairgrounds, I'd have a lot of people come out. So yeah, I always enjoy coming here because it's close to where I grew up, relatively close. So yeah, it's always fun to come here.
What do you think about racing at the fairgrounds? Obviously it's a lot. Yeah, we're excited, a lot of things going on with that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it comes back. It's an awesome racetrack, and even the Super Speedway is a really fun racetrack. Like I've always enjoyed it. But yeah, the fairgrounds would be cool to go back to, just the history and everything else that comes along with racing at the fairgrounds. And I've seen some renderings of what they've put out online of what the place might look like, and keeping the racetrack historic but then making everything else pretty modern, I think would be really cool. So I'm hoping, would not hurt my feelings at all if we came to Nashville twice a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. I've asked a couple of you guys about, could it work going to two different tracks, because that would be unique.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have the Indy setup where you've been to IRP and the big track, but And obviously, you know, Rovals and things like that. But I feel like with them being completely different tracks,
yeah, you would be wild.
You would attract a different audience to both. You'd have your old school race fans that would go to the fairgrounds, and then just the, you know, fans that like racing in general go out super speedway. But I feel like it would work, and I think it sounds like you do too.
I think it would work for sure. I definitely agree. I think it'd be two totally different types of racing that you'd see at both racetracks. And I think you would definitely have a big pool at the fairgrounds just from an historic thing, kind of like what North Wilkesboro, you know, bringing it back, it kind of brought a whole new resurgence to the place. And I think it would be the same with the fairgrounds where, you know, a lot of people would come out to support it because they've wanted to see it for so long. So definitely think that it would put on a really good race. I mean, we've seen the fan support when the SRX deal came there and how packed it was for that. So there's no reason. I don't see why if we came back, it wouldn't be the same.
Chase McCabe with Chase Briscoe here at the NASCAR Awards. So your season, you find victory lane, you make the playoffs. What was it like overall for you while also dealing with the next-gen car?
Yeah, it was unique. You know, we started the season really, really well, and I think part of that was we were so bad the year before, we kind of just pushed all of our eggs in one basket and really committed to the next-gen car before a lot of people did. And, you know, it paid off for us at the start of the year, was able to be really strong. And then over the summer months, we were kind of non-existent, which was kind of a struggle. And then the playoffs started, and we kind of found our stride again at the perfect time and was able to finish the season really strong. So hopefully we can start next season where we ended this one, because I feel really good about it if we do. So, yeah, just need to be a little more consistent throughout the year if we're going to be more of a top contender. You know, I felt like we were, you know, an 8th to 12th place team, but we want to be one of those top four teams. So just need to be a little more consistent, you know, from my side of things. And I feel like if we do that, we'll be really good.
I feel like you're in a really cool spot. You have Tony Stewart as an owner who's a Cup Series champion and raced anything with a steering wheel, it seems. Kevin Harvick, who's a champion. Eric Almirola, who's a multi-race winner. And then now Ryan Preece joining you guys. I mean, you have just this pool of knowledge that you can lean on, and then you've also, you know, learned some stuff yourself along the way. So what's it like on a day-to-day basis being at Stewart Haas Racing?
Yeah, it's super cool. It is kind of a perfect blend, I feel like, because you have Tony, who obviously has done anything and everything there is in the sport. You have Kevin, who really is, a Hall of Famer as soon as he retires, right? So I feel like I lean on Kevin probably more than anybody else in our company, just whether it's on the racetrack or even off the racetrack, just trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. And then you have Eric, who a lot of people don't realize. Eric, I think, has been in the sport for 15 years as a Cup driver, so he's got a ton of experience trying to learn as much as I can from Eric as well. And it's going to be, you know, different this year with Ryan being there. I felt like me and Cole bounced a lot off of each other. Me and Cole have been teammates for the last 4 years in the lower series and now the Cup Series. So it'll be a little bit different not having Cole there this year. But, excited for Ryan to be a part of the team and, see if, what he can bring. And just looking forward to it. I feel like at the end of the year, Stewart Haas in general was running a lot better. So hopefully we can kind of turn a corner going into 23.
What do you expect out of the next-gen car now that you've had a year with it? Obviously, there's some safety concerns that NASCAR and all of you are working on to try and get that part figured out. But as it evolves, what are you expecting in 23?
Yeah, I think the field's going to be a lot tighter. I think as we ran through the season, it got harder and harder to kind of separate yourself from the field. So I think as we get more knowledge, it obviously is going to get harder and harder. You know, there is going to be some rule changes going into next year, so it'll be a little bit of a new learning curve. But I feel like, you know, it's a really unique car in the sense that where the racing wasn't necessarily the best before, now it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Places where the racing was really, really good, now it kind of struggles. So just trying to find that balance of what's right and what's wrong with this car. It's going to take time, you know, from a performance side, from, you know, how the race plays out, that takes time. And same with the safety side. It's going to take, unfortunately, more of us wrecking until we get more data points to kind of figure out what we need to do to make it better. So, I think it's just going to continue to evolve and get better. I think we're in a really good spot for the first year we had the car. I mean, we had 19 different winners. So I think from a parity side of things, that kind of checked that box that this whole car was supposed to do. There's just a lot of unchecked boxes that we're still trying to check, obviously.
Now, you know, the last couple of years – here in Nashville, we've done the burnouts on Broadway, and unfortunately, they didn't do that
I'm
this
bummed.
Year. I know.
I've never got to do it.
I think you would have been very good at that. But I kind of threw this out at Logano yesterday of what if we just loaded up some cars, took them out to the fairgrounds, and you guys try the Chastain move and see who can do it the best.
Yeah.
He didn't like that idea.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to be doing that. I'd rather not get a concussion in the offseason. Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely think we need to do something with the cars. I mean, that's like the best way, I feel like, to attract our new fans that have never got to experience NASCAR. Whenever they – you know, hear the car and see it, and the burnouts on Broadway was kind of the perfect way to introduce a lot of people that didn't really know what NASCAR was. It was a great way for them to see what the cars are, and it's obviously loud. It's exciting. So yeah, I was bummed when we didn't get to do it this year, because I watched it last year and was like, man, that would be so fun. And now this year we didn't get to do it. So yeah, I was pretty bummed when I saw we weren't.
It was crazy when the Penske guys went
nose to nose. Yeah.
But you know. Maybe they'll bring it back. Chase, it's good to see you.
Yeah,
congratulations on a great year, and we'll see you in L.A.
Yeah, looking forward to getting out there.
Hi, it's Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Chevrolet.
Austin Dillon gets the win!
You're listening to NASCAR on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, 102.5, The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe at the NASCAR Awards, and now joined by the driver of the famed number 3 car for Richard Childress Racing, Austin Dillon. Is here with us. Austin, you're no stranger to Nashville. I know you're here quite a bit, but what's it been like this week in Champions Week?
Oh, man, it's always good to be here. You know, you did something pretty good this season to come to the banquet and, just having a little fun. We got in yesterday and enjoyed the festivities, a couple interviews, and going to get dressed up tonight and walk on stage for a minute and watch the champ, I guess.
Your wife's from here, right?
She is. Whitney's from Tennessee. Actually, she was a Titans cheerleader, so I got to come out here and spend a lot of time and when we were dating, and then I moved her to North Carolina.
You stole her from
us. That's right.
That's all right, though. This year for you, I mean, you got a win. You got into the playoffs. I know that it continues to be a build at RCR, but how was your season overall in your mind?
Man, I think, we finished 11th in points, so we finished pretty strong. Progression was good. We took a couple weeks off there in the middle of the season. I felt like we should have been better. But, you know, obviously getting that clutch win at Daytona was huge for our team, having a victory. And, you know, I was hoping for more in the playoffs. We didn't get going fast enough those first two races to finish good enough to make that next cut. But the next two rounds would have been really good for us. So there's some positives there leading into next year. Hate to see my crew chief, Justin Alexander, retiring, but yeah. I'm picking up what I think is a great crew chief in Keith Rodden and looking forward to working with him.
Also going to have a new teammate in Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
He's going to join the fray. Tyler moving on. But what's it going to be like having a former champion in Kyle Busch at RCR?
Yeah, you know, anytime you can bring championship caliber driver into the group, it just, you know, it raises everybody's awareness and everybody at the shop's fired up for it. You know, Kyle and I are actually leaving here and going to run a little race together. And, you know, just being around each other to get ready for the season. But, I mean, he's a champion. He's, you know, known for his work ethic and his ability to communicate and get the best out of the race car he can get.
You mentioned Daytona and getting that win. You've won there a couple times now in your career. That place is always going to be special. It's always going to be synonymous with that number on your door and your family. Does it change, like, each time you win there, or is it still just as special every time you find Victory Lane at Daytona?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing like going to Victory Lane at Daytona. Daytona's the best Victory Lane, in my opinion. Been there a couple times and want to do it again. I'm excited about the 500 just around the corner, and it's my favorite time of year going there for the Daytona 500 and the opportunity to win the race.
You've saw the new car this year, the next-gen car. What were you able to learn about it personally that can help you in 2023?
Well, just the progression of learning how to drive it. You know, I think the first half of the year it was driving me. And then you get comfortable and start getting a little sideways and being able to catch it, and the confidence level gets higher and end of the season where you feel like, all right, we can drive this thing just like the old car. You can drive it hard, be comfortable around each other in racing.
What was it like being a race car driver and a reality TV star?
It was busy, but it was a lot of fun, and had a good time with our friends, and it was a time that I won't forget, and enjoyed it, really did, and the fans did too, and I love, you know, talking to the fans about our show, and they liked it.
How did that all come about?
I guess the right opportunity arose, and we had already had some film on tape from some previous stuff, and a company out of California, an agency, reached out and put it together.
Very, very cool. It was definitely entertaining to watch.
Thanks.
So, you know, you mentioned Champions Week, Nashville. What are some places you like to go to when you're in town?
Oh, man. I've been to Losers a couple times. That place is pretty cool over there.
That's a good spot.
You know, last night I was at the 1230 Club, I think is what it is. It's new, and that place is awesome upstairs. The SMI put on a party up there, so that was cool to, you know, hang out over there. And I'll be back here for the PBR event. We have a PBR event in Nashville next year, so I came to it earlier this year, and it was a good time at the Bridgestone.
Did you have you been to a Preds game?
I haven't been to a Preds game. I'm a Canes fan.
Okay. Well, that's all right. You know, Canes are a good organization, but we'll have to get you at our Preds game, maybe when it's not flooded.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that water main broke in the arena. It canceled postponed two games, but I think they got it fixed. They played Tuesday night, but it's a pretty cool atmosphere. But Hurricanes are too as well. This city is so important to the sport and the history of the sport. Racing at the Super Speedway that you know you raced at before, now the Cup Series is back there, but the fairgrounds, how important would it be to have that track back in NASCAR?
Oh, we got to make it work. You know, I mean, it's right here in downtown. The history behind it, I got to race a race there in the NASCAR E-Series. I loved the track. The bringing North Wilkesboro to an all-star race, that makes me feel that it's much closer to possibly happen that we could come back to Nashville and run the fairgrounds. So
I agree.
It's an opportunity that I hope that somebody is listening and we make it happen.
Did your grandfather race at the fairgrounds at some point?
He definitely did.
Yeah, so I'm sure it means a lot to him to know that it could possibly come back.
Yeah, you know, the history, I mean, that's what we have to keep going back to that. And I feel like, you know, everything kind of goes in phases. And right now is one of those phases where there's nothing better than going back in time. The throwback weekends are a lot of fun, and I think it'd be a blast to go run Nashville.
Awesome. Austin, it's good to see you. Have fun, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Happy holidays, everybody. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special with me, Chase McCabe, on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special with me, Chase McCabe, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe live at the NASCAR Awards here in Nashville and excited about our next guest. Daniel Suarez has stopped by Team Trackhouse, driver of the Tootsie's car. So how could you not cheer for him here in Nashville? Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. I feel local.
Yeah.
You know? I feel local. Really, Trackhouse being based here in Nashville. Me, you know, wearing the purple colors of Tootsie's every year, you know, it's amazing, you know, having so much support from the fans, from the local fans here in Nashville.
You're a fun story because you're a guy that has scratched and clawed, you know, worked your way up through the lower series to get to the Cup Series. And I feel like that you and Justin Marks and Pitbull and Team Trackhouse are like the perfect marriage because it just all clicked. You found victory lane. This year, what was this season like for you in your career?
Yeah, it was very special to be able to finally break through and be successful and win races and make the playoffs and be strong in the playoffs, you know, advance throughout the rounds. I feel like overall a very positive year. With that being said, you know, as a race car driver, we're greedy. So yeah. We always want more, and my team always want more as well. And we're going to continue to work. Well, right now we're taking a few days off, but we know that we're going to continue to work to make some improvements for next year and come back stronger because obviously, you know, we put the bar in a pretty good spot this year and we want to put it even higher for next year.
What was it like having Ross on board now as a teammate? You know, you were there the first year as a single-car team. Now it's a two-car team. Obviously, more resources with the purchase of Ganassi. But now having Ross, another guy to lean on, what was that like?
It was very good. Obviously, Ross and the one team did a very, very good job the entire year. Super strong. I was very, very impressed of how well they were all connected, you know. That team was pretty much already built since they were in Ganassi. So the way that they made the transition to this year with a new car, it was pretty amazing. So we learned a lot from them, and we're able to make our team better But really, we know that there is still room for improvement, and we're going to continue to move in that direction.
Daniel Suarez is with us, driver of the number 99 for Team Trackhouse. And, you know, we claim Team Trackhouse is Nashville's team, you know, Justin being based here. And I know that, you know, the shop's in Charlotte, but it does feel that way and with the Tootsie's colors. So representing this city, so to speak, you said you feel like a local. What has that been like, and how important is it for this sport to be here?
It's very important. Nashville is a very, very important market for NASCAR, and a really very important place for me personally. I mean, at one point, 2 years ago, I thought I was going to move to Nashville.
Yeah.
Because the original plan was to have the race shop here in Nashville. Obviously, you know, things change and a lot of things have adjusted, but I still feel like Nashville is a very special place for me. You know, Justin Marks, Ty Norris, the key people from Trackhouse Racing, they live here in Nashville, and Trackhouse, we call it Trackhouse in Nashville. So, with that being said, on top of that, Tootsie's, you know, being one of the main sponsors of the 99 car with myself, and really, you know, a super iconic place here in Nashville. So, there is so many different connections that make Nashville such a special place for myself.
I've had some good times in Tootsie's. Have you visited over the last couple of days?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday I was there, and I'm pretty sure today at one point we're going to make it there.
Very cool. Daniel Suarez hanging out with us. You mentioned Ty Norris. Ty has, you know, been in NASCAR a long time as an executive with DEI and Michael Waltrip Racing. He brings kind of that side of it. Justin's the racer. Why is that the perfect combination to take Trackhouse to where it is right now and where it's going to go in such a short amount of time?
Totally. I think Ty just brings so much experience. I mean, that guy, if you look at him, he looks like he's super young, but that guy has been in the sport for a long time. He has seen so many things come and go, and he has had a lot of lessons in the sport as well. So he, I mean, there is nobody that I think that you know has the experience and the youth and the hunger that he has, and then you put on top of that on his side Justin Marks, which is a great business person, a very good race car driver, and a guy that loves to think outside the box. And then, you know, on top of that, you put great mechanic, great engineers, good race car drivers, and then you build a very, very good team with an amazing partnership as well with Chevrolet GM. That's when amazing things start happening, you know, when you start putting a lot of good people together.
It's special for you, I know, to, you know, you're a race car driver, you're out to win, but, you know, to represent a country and to represent, you know, Hispanic heritage and all of that. So how do you carry that with you as you go through your career, but knowing that, you know, you're kind of a role model for Mexican born racers that want to do what you do?
Honestly, that's probably the most important thing that I have with me, you know, the fact that I was born and raised in Mexico. The fact that when I came to this country, I didn't even speak English.
Yeah.
The fact that I can connect with my people, with my community, and there is so many of us in this amazing country. So I feel so fortunate, you know. I feel so fortunate to be in this position, to be able to connect with an amazing community, and to be able to represent, an entire country.
Yeah.
And Latin America. So I feel extremely blessed, very fortunate, and obviously, you know, I hope that, you know, one day I can look back and I can see a lot of trophies, a lot of championships that I have won throughout the years, but as well the way that I've been able to change the sport to a better place, and hopefully, you know, bringing more opportunities to international drivers.
Well, I think you're doing a fantastic job with it as well. I was so thrilled when you got through to Victory Lane. I know how you've been trying so hard at that. But thanks so much for stopping by. Have fun this week, and we'll see you in L.A. and Daytona.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, it's Austin Cindric, driver the number 2 Ford Mustang for Team Penske.
Cindric is out front. Now he's a winner at Daytona.
Woo! You're listening to NASCAR on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you live at the NASCAR Awards, and we're joined now by the 2022 Daytona 500 winner, Austin Cindric, who is nice enough to stop by. That doesn't get old, does it?
I have not smiled any time that comes up in conversation, so yeah, bring it on.
So I was there. I didn't get to go to as many races this year, but I was at Daytona, and I'm watching it all unfold. First points race with the new car, lots of cars tore up in the garage, and then here I see this rookie in the number two car get to the front there on the last lap. I know that that was the start of the season. It was a long season, rookie season. You got to learn a lot, but to have that moment with your team, with your dad, being a part of the team, what was that like?
No, it's huge. I mean, there's so many different angles I could probably take on why that day was special. Honestly, a perfect day, even just the race itself, perfect weather, a sellout crowd. Just cool to be there, honestly, as a driver, as a member of the industry, and to obviously have it come together like that and have a shot for not one but two Penske cars to try and win the race there at the end. And to get it done, and to get it done on Roger's birthday, it's pretty incredible to be able to do all that all in one day, and obviously set up a really strong campaign for the playoffs.
You grew up around Team Penske. You've known Roger basically your whole life, I would say. But now that you get to drive for him in the Cup Series, do you pinch yourself some?
I think the first moment where it really hit me, like what I get to do and who I get to drive for, was after the 2021 season ended. And Roger had called me on Sunday morning, and we had a conversation on the phone. And that was kind of the first time where I felt like we were going to war together. We were partnering together. We're going to do this, and I was one of his guys. And that was a really cool experience for me because, yeah, I've had probably a different relationship than most any driver that's really driven for the team. But the goals are all still the same, and the desires and the competitive natures are still all the same, and the expectation for performance is still the same. So I'm excited for that to continue, and it's been really cool to race at the highest level for Roger, for sure.
What was the overall rookie year like for you as you had to navigate learning the next-gen car, had to navigate the Cup Series and the competition that's there, the schedule? So what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, lots of highs and certainly some lows trying to figure things out. I think with the next-gen car, definitely an opportunity for drivers and teams to learn faster than others, but also because the parity was really there from the start of the year all the way through the end, if you had an off day, you were off.
Yeah.
You were off by a lot. And it was pretty obvious. So execution was absolutely at a premium, and I feel like that's what makes the best guys in the Cup Series. That's that consistent performance, having a short threshold for good days and bad days. I think that's what's really important and what I really look to improve on for next year, and continue working with my guys, working with a brand new group of guys for me, a group that's been together for a long time, so trying to fit into that mold and be able to kind of maximize that environment and step up as a leader in the Cup Series. It's challenging, especially when you're with new people and you have to learn strengths and weaknesses and hold each other up, hold each other accountable. I think all that stuff's important, but just like anything in life, whether if it's at work or in sports in a competitive environment, you're going to have to work with different people in different ways. So for me, that was a big lesson and change this year. As far as how to approach that and how to maximize that. And I felt like we got to a pretty good spot by the last couple races of the year, and something to continue to build on.
Talking to Austin Cindric, driver of the number two for Team Penske. So Joey wins the championship. You had success winning the 500. Ryan had success. What do you learn from those guys, leaning on them, that Joey now a two-time champion, Ryan a multi-race winner, that you can take away, even though you're all trying to beat each other, you're all competitors, but those two guys, how do you lean on them and learn from them?
Yeah, certainly teammate environment can be challenging in some cases, but I really think that at Team Penske, between Ryan and Joey and then myself, we all bring different strengths to the table. And it had been the first time in quite a few years since I'd had a teammate. And really, in stock car racing, other than Chase Briscoe when I race in trucks, that's kind of it for teammates. Yeah. For me. So that environment and how to maximize all of those data points, whether if it's just something as simple as setups on the race car or driver feedback, you know, all three of us probably have three different ways of describing the same problem, you know, and how do you, it's just how do you unlock the correct change? How do you approach it differently? And there's no right or wrong way as long as you find success and learning from those guys. And, you know, I think Ryan and Joey are both obviously great drivers, but I think they do it in different ways. And I also think they're both become great leaders for their team. So that they certainly set the right example for me. And I think that's an ideal environment, especially when you got a guy like Joey who's championship caliber time and time again. And I think Ryan's at that point in his career. So really excited to try and continue to step my game up to match them on a week-to-week basis.
I got to meet you last year in Nashville. The awards are back, obviously, racing at the Super Speedway. Fairgrounds could be on the books at some point. But how important is Nashville to NASCAR?
Well, I think Nashville, the culture really matches our sport probably more than any other city and sport combined. So I think it's exciting that we're able to kind of maximize this market and obviously, like you said, with the race that we do at the Super Speedway, but you know, hopefully more in the future. But you know, and then having the banquet here, and it's really a great opportunity, even for just the people in the industry. I look at tonight as a way for not just the teams and drivers, but the officials and you know all the people that make this happen behind the scenes, kind of get to enjoy tonight and then kind of let loose a little bit. And this is probably the right environment for that to happen.
Yeah, well, there's several places to let loose at here in Nashville. Austin, it's good to see you. Thanks so much for stopping by. Enjoy it. Enjoy the off season, and we'll see you in L.A. and Daytona.
Awesome. Thanks, Chase.
Thanks.
We have had so much fun so far. You've heard a lot of the interviews that I did back at the NASCAR Awards banquet. And all these drivers excited to be in Nashville, excited to be racing at the Nashville Super Speedway, which tickets are on sale now for the Ally 400, so be sure to get that. But we have much more coming in the second hour, including a conversation with the champion, Joey Logano. He is going to join us. Also, Matt Gaethje, who is the new general manager of the Nashville Super Speedway, will catch up with him. That is all ahead here on NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
From Nashville Super Speedway to the Nashville Fairgrounds.
2022 NASCAR Cup Series champion Joey Logano.
To the end of season awards. NASCAR runs deep in Nashville. This is a Chasing Checkers NASCAR in Nashville special with Chase McCabe on Nashville's home for NASCAR. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And yes, welcome in hour number two, NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special. I'm Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a fantastic holiday season as we talk about the Nashville Super Speedway, the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, the NASCAR Awards. It all resides right here in the Music City. We've had a great first hour, but we got an even better second hour ahead, and we kick things off with the champion himself, Joey Logano, who won his second NASCAR Cup Series championship. I was able to talk to him outside of the historic Ryman Auditorium during Champions Week. Back here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McCabe with the 2022 NASCAR Cup Series champion, Joey Logano, a two-time champion now. And Joey, let's start with the clash. You won the first race in the new car, and you kind of started this whole 22 and 22 thing, and it worked out when you got to Phoenix, and now you're a champion once again. How does this one feel compared to the first one?
It feels a little different considering it's the second one, but because the first one, you're never going to be able to top that moment of accomplishing the dream the first time. But the second time, I tell you, it still feels pretty good to be able to do. And with the challenges that came along with a next-gen car all year long, it's just it is neat to be able to see it all the way through and finish off the 22 and 22.
What does it say about the commitment that Roger and Team Penske has given you over the last decade to now win Daytona 500's two championships, and who knows what else is going to come after that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, right? I mean, you know that I say this all the time. You can't soar like an eagle when you're working with a bunch of turkeys. And there's a bunch of eagles working at Team Penske, and Roger as a leader in that. You just know that you're going to win, right? When you pair yourself together with Roger Penske, who wins in everything, right? Whether it's racing or business, the guy does it correctly. He's been around for a long time. That means he's doing it right. And you know you're going to win. And so it's great to be a part of a team like that with Shell and Pennzoil and Ford and being able to be successful like this.
Joey Logano here with us. And, you know, going into this season, there was that unknown factor that all you drivers, all you teams had with the new car. What did you learn about it as you went along, and what do you think you're going to continue to learn about it?
We learned a lot. I can't tell you all our secrets, but we learned we were a lost puppy in the beginning of the year, I can tell you that. And the whole industry was. We had no idea what it took to make a car go fast and how different the cars drove when we came to a racetrack the second time. It was just night and day different because we've come so far in the development of the setups and the car, and just I've never been through a year like this, and I probably never will go through a year like this again with this much change and limited experience and practice and ability to learn. It was just nuts, but it was fun. Racing blindfolded is pretty much what it was.
Yeah, and you just use that word fun. I mean, I'm sure there were times it was frustrating, like, what do we got to do here? But at the same time, having that unknown had to add that fun element to it.
Well, it's fun because we got the trophy behind you. That's the only fun part about it, let's be honest. Outside of it, it's a job, right? There's a lot of people relying on us to be successful, so you can't take it lightly. And frustrating for sure, right? There's a lot of things as a group, as a team, the 22 or the Team Penske or NASCAR in general, right? Like, all of us had to really learn a lot this year, and we had to find ways to work together with sometimes people you don't typically work together with.
When you came into the sport, it was in a different spot. It had peaked in the 90s and had this high, and then it was kind of coming back down. Now I feel like it's going back up again. TV ratings are up. The racing, to me, is pretty good. Obviously, you can speak on that being in the driver's seat. I know there's some things to tweak with maybe short tracks and stuff like that. But do you feel like the sport's in the best place that it's been in a long time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you say that. Like, I when I got into the sport, it was 2008, 2009, and, just – it was in a little bit of a downhill spiral at the moment, and to see it, us kind of regroup, change some things, bring a lot of new ideas, and stepping out of our comfort zone, right? And I think that's where we've seen a lot of success as a sport lately. And to your point, the ratings are as high as they've been in a long time. The fan engagement is there. People are interested again, and so that's just a great spot to be as we go through that. And I think a lot of that is because we're doing different things. Think about it, we raced in the LA Coliseum. It's really small for a full-size car. Like, that's crazy. If you asked me about doing that 5 years ago, I'd say, no way, we can't do that. Like, we've never done that before. It just seems like we can't. But I think we've learned so many things throughout, and as weirdly as it says, through COVID racing, right? Because we were forced to do things that were outside of our comfort zone. We were forced to. Then we realized we can do a lot more than what we thought we could do before that. That's probably the silver lining throughout the whole thing.
And you're going to run on the streets of Chicago next year. I mean, now we have an IndyCar race here in Nashville that's on the streets, which is pretty cool, is the Music City Grand Prix. But now you get to do something that maybe 5 years ago, like you said, you didn't think you were going to be able to do in Chicago.
Right. I think it's great. Bring us wherever next. I don't know. We go dirt racing now. I think that's nuts. We're going to go racing downtown cities. Like, that's great. Like, we should be doing that stuff. It's we got the cars. We can make a racetrack out of any parking lot. Bring it. We'll go race at the Walmart parking lot.
Do you like the dirt race like they've done at Bristol? Would you like to see that at other places?
Maybe an actual dirt track would be cool. I like that we got to do something different. And as a competitor in the sport, and I think as a race fan too, since I was a race fan before any of this, there's no other form of motorsports where you race short tracks, road courses, dirt tracks, super speedways, mile and a half, street courses now. Like, yeah. Where else do you get to do all of it, right? So you don't become a one-trick pony, right? Like, you're able to do a lot of different things, and as a driver and as a competitor, as a team, you have to be pretty versatile. And so I think that's like one of the most attractive things about our sport.
Talking to Joey Logano, we've seen a lot of personalities in this sport. You have one of them. I kind of feel like NASCAR can be like wrestling sometimes, that one week a guy's a good guy, one week a guy's a bad guy. But what do you think about the personalities and where they are right now in this sport?
We got some characters for sure. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, it's everybody is who they are, and I can't say they make it up, right? And I think what you see a lot of times is that most of us are able to shut it off, right? When you get in a competitive environment, you flip a gear and you turn into an animal, right? Like, it's all about winning. That's all you think about. And so your reactions and the things you do sometimes aren't like fully thought out, or you become very, very selfish in those moments, because you need to be, right? Because if I was very kind, and I would just give the trophy away to somebody, right? But that's not my job. That's not what we all are here to do. And so you have to become very selfish on the racetrack, which really brings a lot of controversy at times, but that's part of it.
Now, last year we had the burnouts on Broadway. I'm a little bummed that we're not going to have those this year because you and Team Penske stole the show with the triple threat there. But I have this idea, you know, with all this talk with the fairgrounds, why don't we just load up, take the cars, and you guys try the Chastain move around the fairgrounds. How about that?
I don't want to do that. I love the burnout idea. I want to do that again. I don't want to rattle my brain like that.
I know you talked about that of like, okay, it was kind of cool, but maybe let's not do that. I mean, is that one of those things that's it? We're going to see it one time and never again?
We should make sure that we only see that one time. It was really cool. It was spectacular to see in real life. But if I'm being honest, and this, someone's going to take this the wrong way, so please don't. That is the easiest thing in the world to do, right? It takes no brains to do it. You're literally putting it wide open against the wall. It takes no talent to do it because he said he took his hands off the steering wheel. So he basically just held it wide open, took his hands off the wheel, said, "Jesus, take the wheel on this one." And that's I don't know if that's what racing is. You brought up wrestling. That's wrestling. Yeah. So I think it was amazing that he did it the first time. He tried it. He should get the credit for it. Amazing. Cool. I don't want to have to do it, for one, because I know that hurts. And two, I don't think it's hard to do, so I don't think we should be doing it.
Hudson was just a few months old when you won your championship. Now you have three kids with Jameson and Amelia, and she's young. You know, they may not remember this, but to have that family aspect and your wife, how cool is that to be able to celebrate that through your journey now with your family?
It's special, and especially as they get older. You know, like you said, Jameson and Amelia, they're not going to really remember this or know what it took or went into it. But Hudson and, you know, we have those conversations at night before bedtime, right, where we talk about, like, what goes on through the day and how we, you know, I prepare for a race and how he goes through his day and has a bunch of fun and goes to school. But it's something that, you know, sharing those memories and hopefully he sees the way that we do and how hard we all work as a team to be able to be competitive and win. And the fact that we don't win every week, right, is something that he sees as well. And he sees the hard times. So, it's special for sure. And to have the moment of him grabbing the checkered flag afterwards and going for a ride in the race car after we won the championship will be memories I'll have forever.
Is he going to join the ranks of the NASCAR kids anytime soon?
Only if he wants to. I don't want to push him. I want him to be what he wants to be. I don't want him to be a race car driver because that is. He does have a lot of interest in it. He loves driving right now, but I want him to want to do it.
Awesome. Joey, thanks so much. Congratulations.
Right,
hey, stick around. There's more coming on NASCAR in Nashville. Chasing Checker special here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checker special with me, Chase McCabe, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe at the NASCAR Awards at the Music City Center, and very excited about our next guest. Matt Greachy has been nice enough to come by, and you may go, who is that? Well, you're going to know him very, very well here soon. He's the new Senior Vice President and General Manager at the Nashville Super Speedway, taking over for Eric Moses. And Matt, welcome. I know you've been with the company a while. You've been in Nashville for a minute, but good to have you in this capacity.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot. It's an exciting opportunity. Been in the market here at Nashville Super Speedway since February and looking to continue the growth that Eric and the team has brought to Nashville Super Speedway, and a lot of opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it.
How long have you been with Speedway Motorsports?
So I've been with Speedway Motorsports almost 20 years. Started as an intern at Charlotte Motor Speedway, came up through the ranks of corporate sales, events, operations, and then when we acquired Nashville and Dover, our CEO and President Marcus Smith asked me to come to this and help bring it along and into the Speedway Motorsports family. So from there, it's been quite a journey, and I'm looking forward to this.
I have a lot of respect for somebody that worked their way up as an intern. That's what I did in the radio world, now the program director. So that's pretty cool that you've been able to literally grow in this company.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, the company's phenomenal. There's a lot of mentors that I've been able to lean on and will continue to lean on with our leadership and that, and it'll expedite the growth and what we can do at Nashville Super Speedway.
So Nashville Super Speedway's now had two cup races. I know last year was the first one under the SM banner, but as you watch that racetrack, one, it was sitting there closed for 10 years, and they're able to get it going again. It looks fantastic, awesome facility. But what is the potential at Nashville Super Speedway?
Well, the market's tremendous. It's a destination market and a lot of opportunity. Obviously, the main focus right now is our NASCAR weekend. But beyond that, we want to utilize the property 365. Bring, you know, Nashville is synonymous with music, but entertainment as well, and we can be a solution to that with the 800 acres we have, you know, close proximity to downtown and the ability to get there with, you know, the major metros in the area. So more car shows, music, entertainment, private, public events, we're looking to add to that.
And the racing has been awesome the last couple of years there too, and I know that was, you know, something that everybody looked at the drivers, the fans, you know, everybody involved of, okay, how can we make the racing the best it can be? And I think we've seen that, and with this new car, the next gen car, that's only going to further that down the line.
Yeah, agree. The you know, NASCAR took a big step with the new car, and the performance has been really good. They had some small tweaks, and they're getting through that. But no, the racing's been great at Nashville Super Speedway, and I think, you know, in partnership with NASCAR and MRC, with us pushing back the start time to the Cup Series race to 6 o'clock and finished under the lights. Who doesn't love night racing and do that? Plus, with the June temperatures, it'll definitely help us from a fan perspective.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because I love night racing. You know, it's so much fun, and being able to be a part of it last year, and I mean, it was a long day for sure, but to be able to watch that thing finish under the lights and call it was really, really cool. So, you know, it's kind of funny how something will happen that you don't plan, and then it kind of makes you go, this is a good idea. Is that kind of what the process was with moving it to a 6 o'clock start?
That was. We wanted to be prime time. Obviously, NBC, with their kickoff to the second half of the season at Nashville Super Speedway, definitely that, and they're a great partner, and they're leaning in heavily with us. And pushing it back to there helps from a fan perspective, but also getting into prime time broadcasts was important too.
We're talking to Matt Graetsche. He's the general manager and senior vice president with the Nashville Super Speedway. What did Eric Moses mean, though, to NASCAR, to SM, to Nashville, to that company, to bring that track literally out of mothballs and get it going again?
Yeah, you know, quite the undertaking that he took just to get it back in fold, just getting the dates and the extension and bringing it back to Nashville. So, you know, he's been very impactful in the community, and we want to continue that. And, you know, he's still a resource. He's, you know, going to Phoenix to help run the Fiesta Bowl and lead that team out there. But he'll be readily available for us and help bridge the gap between, you know, our team and him. And I don't think we'll miss a beat, but we'll miss him in the fold.
What has this transition been like for you? You said you got to Nashville in February, and so you're still kind of learning things around here. But now that you're kind of moving into to a different role, what's this Champions Week been like?
So this opportunity came pretty quick. You know, Eric, it was the pardon, and you know, Marcus offered the position to me last week, so it got announced on Monday. So, you know, 4 days on the job, and so it's been you know, through a fire hose, but. Champions Week is great. We love that it's in Nashville, and especially in our backyard of Nashville Super Speedway. So I think moving forward, my family's moved here. I got here in February. They didn't come here until July. What we want to do as a family and just get more involved in the community and how great Nashville is.
Yeah. What are some areas you've discovered that you think are pretty cool about our city so far?
Well, the music is what everybody knows, but I think just the other pockets of the neighborhoods that you can go to and get a different experience. And, you know, Broadway's phenomenal for what it is, but there's a lot more to it. Restaurants and additional entertainment, and there's a lot of history here too, which is exciting.
I've talked to a lot of the drivers today and, you know, in the last few days, and they, you know, I bring up Nashville, they bring up your track, and you know, you kind of see a smile on their face that they've really enjoyed it, really enjoy going out there. You know, obviously they want to be in the city. They've talked about it for a long time. But what does it mean to know that you have the support of the drivers that like going out to Nashville Super Speedway?
Yeah, I think it's just like the general public. Everybody enjoys coming to Nashville. So if we can have a race here, plus the Champions Week here, two plus times for the industry to come here, it's good to have them on board. If they're not going to enjoy it, they're not going to talk to it in a good light. So that's enjoyable that they like it.
So it's December. The race is not for another 6 months, but I know that a ton of planning has already started as you look for year three in your first year in this role. What are some things that maybe we can expect come June?
Yeah, we want to keep improving on the fan entertainment and what happens off the track. What else we can do there for the fans that aren't camping on site or just coming into the town, and what we can do downtown and help build the week as a whole. Yes, planning has started, and yeah, thanks for mentioning it's December 1st already. So yeah, things are moving quickly, but we have a lot of irons in the fire and working on some more fan amenity things.
Well, I just want to make sure I still have a job and can come be the voice of the track. You know, you're the new guy, so
absolutely.
Just want
to
make sure.
No, we would love to have you back, so we appreciate your support.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, it's good to have you on. We look forward to talking several times before race weekend. It'll be here before we know it, but enjoy Champions Week.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we've got tickets on sale, NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com, and June 23rd through 25th.
Yeah, going to be fun. Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chase.
Hey, stick around. There's more coming on NASCAR in Nashville. Chasing Checkers special here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Happy holidays, everybody. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checkers special with me, Chase McCabe, on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live at the NASCAR Awards here in the Music City. Chase McCabe here with you, and I'm joined by a three-time winner this year, a man that finished third in the standings, Christopher Bell, the driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Christopher, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. It's always fun to be able to come to Nashville, especially when you get to be a part of the awards ceremony.
You're soaking this in, I assume. I know everybody wants to carry the big trophy, but third isn't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It, just being in that final four and having a shot at it at Phoenix to race for a championship is, you know, what the goal is going into the season. And unfortunately, Phoenix didn't work out the way that we were hoping it would, but we still had a shot at it. And if we get another shot at it next year, we'll try and make it a different outcome.
How close do you think you really were to winning your first championship in the Cup Series?
I mean, looking back at the race, there was a period of time late in the race where we were really close.
Yeah.
The 20 car was really strong on the long green flag runs when we got late into the tire's life. And it was playing out right into our wheelhouse. You know, the pit strategy, we made our last pit stop, and then me and the 22 were racing really hard right there with I think 40-ish laps to go, and I think I was in the driver's seat, and then the yellow flag came out, and we had a pit road mishap, and that was pretty much the end of our day.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in the driver's seat feeling good about things and then you see that yellow and just go, doggone it.
Yeah, I mean, even if we wouldn't have had the pit stop mishap, you know, our strength was not fire off speed. So when that last yellow flag came out, I knew that our hopes had gotten, or our chances had gotten a lot worse.
So the season as a whole, I mean, the Cup Series, the best drivers in the world, you know, you came up through the ranks and had a lot of success, but it takes time. I mean, you have to learn how to compete with these guys. Oh, on top of that, they changed the car on you, so everybody has to learn that. What was this season like for you, though? Because it felt like it was that breakout year, especially with the three wins.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just really good to finally get some normal back into our weekends. And, you know, in 2020, my rookie season, we got disrupted with COVID and had no practice and qualifying. And then in 2021, we started to get a little bit more of it, but there were only a handful of events where we had practice and qualifying. So, you know, going into 2022, it was so rewarding to be able to control our own destiny, qualify week in and week out. And we qualified really well, which helped us in pit stall selection, obviously starting position. But yeah, it just allowed us to showcase our potential a lot more.
Christopher Bell is with us, the driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. So now that you have had some time in this new car, and I think for you younger guys, it's probably more of an advantage because you weren't in the Cup Series all that long. Now you're learning this new car. What do you think about it? What did you learn?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are strengths and weaknesses of the next gen car, and you know, you look at the Martinsville spring race was one of the lower races of the year. Just, you know, it exposed the weakness of this car. But then you look at the mile and a halfs like Vegas and Kansas and Michigan was a pretty good race. And, you know, so it's definitely provided parity to our group in NASCAR. And we saw the most first time or a bunch of first time winners and the most single win season for, you know, I think what do we have, like 19 winners or 18 winners? That's insane. So Yeah, it's definitely changed our sport, and I think that the longer that we go with the next gen car, we're going to see those top teams, you know, get the advantage back.
I do have to, you know, bring up the sad part. Obviously, championship weekend, you're focused on that, but Coy Gibbs passing away, big part of your team. I mean, what did that do to the weekend? Obviously, Ty trying to celebrate a championship and then loses his dad. I know that had to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for Ty, but obviously, I feel terrible for him because of the circumstances that he, you know, had to go through winning the race, and you know, I'm sure he hasn't celebrated yet. So yeah. That's not ideal. But then, you know, for me, I don't think that it affected our performance on that sure. Sunday. I feel like everyone was able to go out there and do their best. And you know, I don't think that the news had any hindrance on our championship hopes. But obviously it changed the emotional, I guess, feels going into the race and shortly afterward.
What did Coy mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, he was he was kind of my connection at Gibbs. And, you know, Joe is the ringleader, the king of the castle.
Coach.
Yeah, he's the coach. He's the coach of the team. But Coy was my day-to-day guy. Like, if I had a question or needed something, I would go to Coy. So, yeah, I mean, it probably hits more, different people a lot harder than me, but it is a huge impact in the way that I've done business with JGR and because, you know, he was my guy. He's the guy I talked to.
Christopher Bell is with us. So you're in Nashville for the awards, but got a race here now, last couple of years. What do you think about being at the Nashville Super Speedway? I don't know if you had ever raced there before at some point in your career, but having it back on the schedule has to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it turned out to be a really, really good race the first year and even last year. So, you know, I love the parity of tracks that we have in the schedule right now, and I would love to see the Nashville Fairgrounds on the schedule too. So,
have you raced there?
I have in a late model. Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
So I think adding another short track to the schedule would be huge, and then being able to race closer to downtown Nashville would be awesome.
Very, very cool. Christopher, thanks so much for the time. Congrats on a great year, and good luck in Daytona.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hi, it's Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Ford Mustang.
Harvick wins at Darlington.
You're listening to NASCAR on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 The Game.
Here with Kevin Harvick, the driver of the number 4 Stuart Haas Racing. You win those two back-to-back races, and I know that had to really just make you feel better about things, because I know it had been a minute, but what did that do for your season overall?
That didn't really change much other than we won. You know, I think after we had the race here, we realized that we were on track from a performance standpoint. So, you know, really from the middle of the year on, we had a good year, and we wound up winning a couple races, and that's always nice.
You've had success at the Nashville Super Speedway back in the I think it was the Busch Series then, but to come back here, what's it been like to be back in Nashville?
Yeah, you know, I think as we come back here and race, it's obviously a great place for our sport and to be. You know, I think as you look back and you see the success at the racetrack in the Busch Series, and I never really thought we would come back to race here in the Cup Series and be able to put on a great event was something that, you know, I think we were all proud of, and I know it was fun to be a part of, so we're looking forward to coming back.
Where's your guitar?
My guitars are in the trophy case at the house.
So Keelan hasn't tried to play them yet or shown interest in that?
No, he knows I'd hurt him bad. If he touches anything in my man cave area, he's definitely in trouble. So he knows that when he comes in there to stay downstairs in his area.
Do you have fun with the fact that a lot of people look at you as Keelan and Piper's dad now and not just Kevin Harvick, the race car driver?
Well, for me, that you know, takes a lot of pressure off, actually, because I enjoy that title. I enjoy them being around. And, you know, I think for me, it has really helped me through the process of being competitive and wanting to still do what I do, because racing with Keelan has kind of shed a new light on things as far as how you look at racing and the things that you do. So for being a parent is definitely inspirational in showing up to work every day.
Being in Nashville, I got to shout out my friends at Hunt Brothers, Scott Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, they've been with you for a long time. Just
yes.
How cool is it? I heard you went by the warehouse this week. How cool is it to have them as partners?
Well, Hunt Brothers Pizza has been a great partner since 2008, I believe. 2008, 2009, somewhere right in that area. But, you know, they've become good friends, and you know, for us, we have become great partners and figured out how to make things work on the racetrack, off the racetrack, and co-brand my brand with their brand and other people's brands. And they believe in what we do, and we love being a part of their brand and have watched it grow and have grown with it. So it's been fun to be a part of that process.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Here was Zane Smith. He's the 2022 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion. And Zane, I mean, phenomenal year for you guys. Started off in Daytona with that one. Just take us through the season.
Yeah, it was definitely the most fun season, and really – it's going to be hard to back up. We just started out with a bang with a new group, which was probably the coolest thing, obviously with our win at Daytona, and then followed up with a few more, and then got that regular season championship, which was something I really wanted, just with the bonus points you get there. And then I knew if we made it to the Final Four, we could give them a run for their money, and that's what we did. And we brought an outstanding truck there that night, and we made the most of it, and really dominated for the most part, and came down to a late race restart and got it done. And so it's just been so cool to going out there, being from Huntington Beach, California. It's pretty much as close as we get to home. And so to see all my family there in a really fun fashion is super cool.
What do you think about Nashville and Champions Week, Nashville Super Speedway, everything that we have around here?
Yeah, I love it. This is I feel like all concrete racetracks really suit me, and I was talking to Bob Jenkins, my crew chief, this morning, that this is one that I have circled for next year just because of how much fun it is, especially a Friday night helps things, but right after the race we always go downtown and it's a big party. And so I celebrate a championship now in Nashville, and I'd love to celebrate a win.
We have some places to celebrate around here. Yeah, is there, yeah, there any too. Any place that stood out to you?
Man, to be honest, I don't really remember a whole lot of them. Whenever I'm
you've done it right then.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the 1230 Club. That place is just it's awesome. Their lemon drop shots are right.
Dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous is a good word for them.
Awesome, Zane. Congratulations. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Hey, stick around. There's more coming on NASCAR in Nashville. Chasing Checkers special here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Happy holidays, everybody. You're listening to NASCAR in Nashville, a Chasing Checkers special with me, Chase McCabe, on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're here with a couple of Hendrick drivers, Kyle Larson, William Byron, with us. Let's start with Kyle. Kyle won the inaugural Ally 400. Have you learned how to play the guitar yet?
Nope. Haven't even attempted to. So, I wish I would have learned though as a kid for sure. That'd been a cool thing to do. You know, you'd be able to lead the parties.
Yeah, I mean it definitely helped at the parties for sure. How about you? Do you know how to play guitar?
No, but he's good at karaoke, so he can. he's got plenty of skills on the mic. So,
what's your go-to karaoke song?
I don't know. many songs. No,
I tell you mine, but it's a family show, so yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah. What song you've heard him sing?
Heard him sing? He's got a variety. Yeah, he's got an album basically. So
you were supposed to sing. Why didn't you?
I was.
That?
I got cold snuck feet. Yeah, snuck out.
So I told Bowman that since you won the first Ally 400, Chase won the second one. It's between you and Bowman to keep the Hendrick Motorsports thing going.
Yeah, I guess. I need to run the top 10 there first. But no, I had a good run there the first year, but this year we had a power steering, so I don't know. We'll see.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Chase Elliott here, driver of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet.
Chase Elliott wins the Road America.
And you're listening to NASCAR on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5, The Game.
All right, you are the defending race winner of the Ally 400. Where's the guitar, and have you learned to play it yet?
I know a couple chords, but that's about it. But yeah, I still need to learn how to play. But I have it at home. I haven't really done anything special with it yet, so try to figure out something cool to do with it, because it is a super cool trophy and a special one that I feel like anybody who has one is super proud of.
Is that one of those that you kind of put in the like the grandfather clock or the Bristol Trophy, or you know, something like
that? Yeah, I think so. I think winning in Nashville is a super big deal, and you know, winning that guitar is like I said, it's a great honor to have, and something that you should have a lot of pride in as you go throughout your career.
This could be the most important question I ask you. What the heck happened to our Atlanta Braves?
Man, I know. I was a little nervous about them, but they have a ton of talent. I feel like they, you know, being able to come back and win the East like they did, I thought was really cool. It just seemed like they got a little too hot too soon. And with baseball, I think it's about getting hot at the right time. And it worked out really good for them last year. And I think it was just a little early for this season.
You look good, man. Yep. Thanks.
Thanks. Sure.
Hi, it's Alex Bowman, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevy.
Alex Bowman, coming out of four, he's going to win at Martinsville.
You're listening to NASCAR on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 The Game.
Back here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe at the NASCAR Awards here in the Music City, and joined by the driver of the number 48 Ally Chevy for Team Hendrick. He is Alex Bowman. He's here with us. First of all, it's good to see you. I know the end of the season did not go the way that you wanted to, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel great. It was really good to get back for Phoenix. That was a big goal of mine. So happy that we were able to do that. Obviously wish the race would have gone a little better. I think we had a pretty good race car and just struggled a little bit on pit road and then got crashed there. So, but it was good to get back in the car and went and ran my sprint car the week after that too. So I'm feeling really good and excited for 23.
How glad were you to get to work one more race with Greg Ives, who's stepping off the pit box?
Yeah, I was really happy about that. Obviously Greg's been a huge part of my career, so means a lot to be able to end that with him and not have Texas be the end of that. So you know, I'm excited for what the future holds on the 48 team, but also for Greg, I think it's going to be really good.
For you, and you know, we've obviously Dale Jr.'s situation is well documented, that dealing with concussions. We've seen Kurt now step away full time. You miss some time. I obviously none of us want that. It's also a dangerous sport. You know, kind of what you're doing there. But for NASCAR and for everybody involved to be aware of what concussions can do and kind of help you guys out in that sense, what does that mean for the sport and for the safety of you guys moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely got in an unacceptable place with that car and the rear impacts, and I'm glad that we are improving it now. You know, where it started wasn't okay, and obviously, you know, Kurt and myself both getting hurt was not optimal, but unfortunately that... I feel like, you know, between Kurt and myself, that kind of woke everybody up and got everybody working on, I mean, they're always working on making the car safer, but made everybody realize that was a real problem. So excited about the things that are being fixed. I think that's a good move. And, you know, it just kind of caught everybody off guard. Obviously, that hasn't been an issue in the past. And I think we'll be better from it.
What did you think of the racing aspect of the next gen car and where it can go from here?
Yeah, I think it just depended where we went, right? Like the previous gen car was great at short tracks and the mile and a half racing wasn't great. The next gen car, the mile and a half racing was the best it's been. Yeah. The short track racing kind of struggled. So, you know, it brought its new challenges like anything. It's got pluses and minuses. So excited to see kind of that evolve as well. You know, we've learned so much about that race car over the course of the year and it's changed so much. So, it's going to keep evolving. I'm sure the rules will keep evolving. Things will keep changing. So excited to see where it ends up. But yeah, the mile and a half racing was phenomenal. Some of the road courses and short tracks struggled a bit from it, but I'm sure we'll keep improving that.
Alex Bowman is with us, driver of the number 48 for Hendrick Motorsports. Your season overall had, you know, ups and downs, and I think a lot of people would say that the car has a lot to do with that, with, you know, as they evaluate their seasons. But how would you evaluate how the 48 team did this year?
Yeah, you know, it was a bit typical for us. We started really strong, and we struggled through the summer months, and then we were really strong again through the playoffs, and unfortunately got hurt there in the second round. But we had been running fantastic before that happened. So we had to figure out how to get our summers a little better. But other than that, you know, obviously getting a win at Vegas was really good. Wish we would have had a couple more and some more consistency through the summer. It's hard to put my finger on why we got off so bad through the summer, but obviously it was really encouraging to start the playoffs as strong as we did, run strong really every week until I got hurt. So I think we're in a good place. Obviously, I'm really excited about working with Blake next year. Brings kind of a new perspective to the team, and you know, I think we have a really, really strong race team and can do a lot of good things next year.
Ally, obviously a big part of the Nashville Super Speedway and the Ally 400 and your sponsor. What's it like working with them and the support that they've given you since Jimmy retired and you took over, even though now he's coming back, and you took over the 48?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I didn't know what to expect when I started working with Ally. I think I had met some of them in passing, but, you know, they've been amazing to work with. They're anything I feel like that I want to do, they're all on board with. It's been really cool. Obviously, we've raised a ton of money for homeless pets, like hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point. You know, anything we've done has been really fun. That group is a great group from the top down. So enjoy working with them. It makes my job more fun for sure.
Is it going to be weird seeing Jimmy back at the track?
No, I'm excited for it. I think it'll be cool. Obviously, having him as a teammate for as long as I did was amazing. I feel like I learned so much from him. But yeah, I'm excited for him. I think it's really cool, you know, his opportunity that he has, what he's able to do, all the different stuff he's been able to drive. It's cool to get him in a sprint car a little bit and have him make some laps in that. But you know, between the IndyCar stuff, the IMSA stuff, and now getting back in a cup car, it's just really cool to see.
What are some things you want to do outside of NASCAR? You mentioned the sprint car that you run already, but I mean, you guys are racers. That's what you love doing. Is there anything that you haven't been in that you want to try?
Not really. A wing sprint car was kind of my bucket list car, and I think I ran like 27 races or something this year, and I'm going to try to do about the same next year. So I'm excited about that. I kind of jumped right in the deep end and went straight for the Outlaws, and that has been very, very humbling. But, you know, with how my schedule worked out, that was really all I could do. So it was that or not race one. And so I've just been choosing to get my butt kicked a little bit. But it's been fun. It's been a huge learning experience. Those cars are so cool. The drivers are really cool. Everybody's been really helpful and open and cool about a guy like me kind of coming in. So it's been neat, and it's been really cool to have Ally support on that as well. You know, that's I really enjoy the open wheel stuff, so it's been cool.
What does it say though about the sport? You know, because I think it helps guys like you. You know, for guys like you and Kyle and Chase to go into these other series, because the fans are then going to go watch, and therefore some of these up and comers are going to get noticed, because you know they're there to watch you, but then they're going to see good racing. So it's almost like you're paying it forward a little bit and having fun.
Yeah, I hope so. For me, it's really been about the fun, but you know, I think it's good for motorsports in general to have diverse race car drivers running different types of things. So obviously, you know, when Kyle does it, it's a little different. He's at a different level in the sprint car than I am, but you know, I definitely didn't pick the easy route, but it's been really cool, and the fans have been awesome. You know, it's a lot of work to race that much during the season, and I don't run as much as Kyle does, but it's tough. I don't know how he does it. You know, when I get,
he's a machine.
Yeah. When I get racing a lot, I am wore out through the week and he's just go, go, go all the time. So, you know, it's been a big learning experience and, good training tool. So it's been really cool.
Well, Alex, it's good to see you. I'm glad that everything's going well. Have a good off season, and we'll see you soon enough at the Clash.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Hope you enjoyed our NASCAR in Nashville Chasing Checker special. with me, Chase McCabe. It was awesome to be on the red carpet with the Nashville Super Speedway, talk to these drivers at the NASCAR Awards, and also, you know, DW kicking things off with us, talking about the fairgrounds. So much to look forward to in 2023 when it comes to NASCAR racing here in the Music City. Cannot wait to get it started. Have a great rest of your holiday season. I'm Chase McCabe for 102.5, 106.3, The Game.